A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Murph, good to see you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, guys. It's always great to be back here in the city, and thanks for having me on. I look forward to my next interview here at Hobnobs.
All right. Thank you. You just mentioned it was 50 years ago since you got drafted. Did you get a call from Bill Lucas on the actual day you were drafted?
Yeah.
So you found out the day. Have you heard the stories of guys finding out they were drafted like a day or two later?
I can't remember any of them, but I've heard. You're talking about guys my age back in the day? It doesn't surprise me because that's just the way it happened. I don't even know how the draft happened. I think they all got on a conference call, you know, I would imagine. Or telegram conference, conference telegram. Because
Western Union, we've drafted Dale Murphy. Stop. Call Dale Murphy.
Now,
stop.
I have a telegram story in my. It gets kind of long. Let me back up. I can see that happening because in the baseball draft, you know how many guys you draft, and you're going through the list of calling guys. Bill Lucas called me. But there was also no internet, no email, no. So they had to personally call the guys. I can see that, you know, it surprises. I mean, kind of doesn't surprise me, but it also is understandable. And we did not live in the information age. We had no information. I thought the Phillies were going to draft me.
So you talked about watching Hank hit number 715, and then in June the Braves draft you, and out of nowhere you saw nothing coming.
Yeah. I thought the Phillies were going to draft me. My coach at our high school was friends with the Philly scout. I knew I was getting scouted, but I only had one pre-draft workout. They flew me to Philly. They picked Lonnie Smith. And so I was just, you know, I knew I was going to get drafted, sitting around waiting for a phone call. And then Bill Lucas called me, said, we drafted you. And back then they used to list them for some reason as the major league draft and then the AAA draft. And so I thought I was going to Atlanta. I was like, I'm not coming there to play, am I? I go, oh, no. And then flew here, you know, a few days after I signed, and Bill Lucas met me at the airport, and then I think I spent the night here, and then went to Kingsport, Tennessee, Rookie Bowl.
I'm not trying to make it sound like you were a country bumpkin, but two things. Is the phone call, I'm assuming it's a wall on the phone somewhere in the kitchen? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the way that things were done. Had you been on a plane before, or do you remember 50 years later what it was like? How nervous were you to go? You're going
from Portland, Oregon to Atlanta.
Or even to Philadelphia to have that tryout.
Yeah, totally. My dad went with me to Philadelphia. I went by myself to Atlanta because I had already signed. And I had flown before, not that much, but I had flown a little bit. And
how nervous are you? Do you have a bat? Do you bring a bat with you to Philly? Do you just have a glove?
You know, that's a great question. I brought my obviously drafted as a catcher, had my catcher's mitt. I didn't bring anything. I didn't bring a bat that I can remember. They had just invented aluminum bats when I was in high school, and I obviously knew we weren't going to be using aluminum bats. I don't think I had a good wood bat. And so, you know, you don't really know. You're totally nervous, but it was the kind of nervous where everything from getting on the plane to landing in Atlanta and meeting Bill at the airport, just every step was so foreign and unknown that, yeah, I was nervous, but take it above nervousness where you don't, you know, I don't know what, I hardly knew where Atlanta was. I was going to Kingsport, Tennessee. Where is Kingsport, Tennessee? Where am I staying there? Who are my coaches? Hoyt Wilhelmus, my first manager. It was beyond nervousness. Probably scared is a word I would throw in there for sure.
Can I ask now, then you would have a great perspective. When you have a player who doesn't speak the language, when you have a foreign player coming over, can you even the magnitude of that?
Yeah, not really. I can't imagine what it'd be like to come over here from, you know, played with guys in rookie ball in Dominican. I'm sure that was, you know, their first flight. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like to not speak the language and to come here and experience your first year of pro ball.
Dale Murphy is here with us. Hobnob and Vinings is where we are. He is the subject of today's Lunch with a Legend series brought to you by First Horizon Bank. We were just talking before you got here about the fact that on this date in 82, you guys started the season 11-0 with the victory over the Astros. That was really the first time the city was captivated with the Braves, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I had someone come up to me in 95 or during that, whenever, maybe 91 when they went to the World Series in 95. Anyway, that playoff run that started, someone came up to me and said, you know, that 82 thing was still the most exciting thing. And I think it was just kind of unknown. We weren't picked to make the playoffs or, you know, to win our division. So when we ended up going 2 weeks without losing, it was definitely crazy. If you go back and look at the replay, people ran on the field as they did back in the day. You know,
it's like a college basketball game.
Yeah, they stormed the field. It really, I think, when we won the 13th one, there were people coming out on the field. And then when we came from, did you say Houston when we won?
Yeah, Houston.
When we got back from Houston, after there were a few thousand people at the airport. That's when we used to go through, get off the gate and walk through the airport. It was nuts. It was nuts. So exciting. It was just so unexpected.
Can you talk about the reality, though? Is it a thing when you're not on a good team, and you experience that, driving to the ballpark? Brian Snicker talked about it. There are times that you hope you win. But then when you get good, you go, no, I'm going to the ballpark expecting to win. And can you explain what a 162-game season is like when you're not going well?
Yeah. The only thing I can say is, you know, people say, well, the pressure to win. I'm like, no, it's so much when you're winning. There's, like, expectation of you to make the playoffs, et cetera. And so, like you said, I've experienced both. Mm-hmm. When you pull into the ballpark and you're driving to the ballpark, you're relaxed when you're winning. Uh-huh. You're relaxed. You're like, whatever happens tonight, I don't know if I'm going to win the game by getting a base hit, but someone is. And so your performance just becomes better. People talk about my 82 and 83 years. We had good teams, and I just had my best years when it was enjoyable to go to the ballpark. And yeah, so we had some experiences there. You're just, everything's, there's little arguments, there's you know, little things I can't remember, but just the completely different feeling of, you know, you're nervous. You always had butterflies going no matter how many people were out there. You get in the batter's box, but there's a different energy when there's 25,000 people there, and games on the line and a pennant race is on the line. Those dog days were serious dog days when we weren't winning.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
But as you said, people don't forget, like, the luncheon. People are here, and they're waiting to hear you speak. That's got to be a humbling experience for you. People
I'm
still
so
remember
grateful.
You after all these years.
So grateful. I can't be, you know, a number of things. The guys I played with, the people I played for, managers, owners, Ted, Bobby, Joe Torre. I mean, I got a lot of them. But TBS, being on TBS was, you know, I go all over the country, and it doesn't matter where I go. People come up to me, man, I watch, you know, I live here in I'm just trying to think, Fargo. Literally, I went to Fargo, North Dakota. and ran into a bunch of fans. Just it's very humbling. It's really fun. People ask me all the time, "What's Glenn Hubbard up to? What's Horns doing?" You know, they can name our lineup all over this country from the 80s, not because we were perennial contender. It's because we were on every night, and then we had a few good teams, and our announcing crew was the best. So I'm very grateful for the days I played. Yeah, you know, we had some tough days, but to be able to play for Atlanta, and just so thankful. I don't know how else to say it. For Ted Turner and the Braves, and for Bill Lucas to pick me and then have my experiences, I couldn't be more grateful. I don't know how else to say it.
I don't know if we've ever asked, right? I don't think I've ever, you know, we've talked off mic before. How would you describe your career?
How would I describe my career?
Yeah.
A little up and down, for sure. I'd love to speak now and share the story of my career, because it wasn't smooth sailing, and it was bumpy. I got drafted as a catcher, didn't work out there. Bobby moved to me to first, didn't work out there. Called me before spring training, 1980, said you're going to the outfield. And then I ended up making all-star teams and doing things.
Are you feeling like this is my last shot as he moved
to
the outfield?
Yeah. Well, you know, I started a few home runs, but by a few, I mean like over 20.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And Bobby just saw, you know, when Bobby Dews was on his staff and I played for Bobby in A-ball, they just hung in there with me. And I kept showing up. And there were times when I, you know, if some of my stuff was on from AA and AAA, and my catching was on social media, it would have buried me. I kind of went through those days kind of with some anonymously, but I started to hit a few home runs, and I started filling out a little bit. And Bobby just, you know, and Doozy always says, "Murph, I want you to know that was my idea getting in the outfield. It wasn't Coxie's." Bobby called me and said, "We're going to move you to outfield." And I was like, I think this could work. And I just, everything just settled.
But you're humble. Do you take pride in knowing that you stuck through that and you had other people? There has to be a pride.
I like to share the fact of what did I do? A couple things. I didn't quit when I wanted to quit. I mean, literally, I was kind of hoping in AAA a couple of times. You know, I hit our starting pitcher. They had to take him out of the game because the guy was stealing second base, and I hit him, our pitcher.
Yeah. So you
hit him right in the
you
hip.
You IL'd a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least he missed his next start. You know.
Well, we can laugh about it now.
Well, exactly. But at that point in time, I was like, you know, I had to show up the next day. I was the catcher. I mean, what are guys thinking about me and just the whole thing? But I just showed up, and I know there's the famous saying that 90% of success is showing up, but it really is true, and I share that with people. Just, you know, something's going to happen. Don't give up on yourself, because I wanted to give up on myself, and different things happened. I mean, I had no idea from 1977 or 78 when I started at first base for Atlanta that 4 years later I would be an MVP. People believed in me, gave me a chance, and I just kind of just showed up. You know, I was very fortunate to be with the Atlanta Braves. And I've been with another organization. It wouldn't have worked.
Media in New York might have.
Oh, yeah. Well, I probably wouldn't have never got called up. You know, I got called up in 76 and 77 for September just because I was a catcher. You know, I mean, I was a prospect. But, you know, we know in the late 70s, and mid to late 70s, especially after Hank left, and they were, you know, losing a lot of games, trying to figure things out. And things were different back then. They bring guys. I look at some of my numbers. They let me play the whole year in the big leagues. You know, that wouldn't happen now.
Well, guys like Lavin and Smoltz, same deal. They let them figure it out.
The late 80s, when they came up, we were struggling. And Smoltz always shares a story about his first year and how many games he lost. It's a different deal. That generation, our generation, they had patience with you at the big leagues. which is not really evident now. I mean, it's just a different, it's a different era.
Dale Murphy is with us. We know he got to run and do the Lunch with a Legend series here at Hobnob, but we also talked about the grandkids. The meter's still running, is it not? It's 18 and counting.
Yes, on Monday, number 19. So, yeah, just shake my head there. What can I say? It's never had any idea 20 years ago.
Eight kids, you're about to have your 19th grandchild, but you said something before that we agree with and we had talked about, not with those numbers, but it's not you, it's who in your life? Who runs your life?
Oh, Nancy. Yeah. No, my career would be a lot different without Nancy. Everything would, our family, most importantly. I mean, think about it. Chad was born. I started my first full year here was 78. We got married in 79. Chad was born in 80. I retired in 93, and that was the year Madison was born. So we had eight kids during my career. And Nancy is, I don't know how to say it except that she is in every way has made my life and my career possible and our family, absolutely.
And the key is you share the same birthday, so that makes things easy as well.
Exactly, and I needed that.
Well, you got to spend it.
It really all fell into place.
I really needed the same day to have I almost showed up here yesterday.
Oh, we heard. But at Glorious West Palm, there's nothing like celebrating your birthdays at Glorious West Palm Beach.
March at West Palm Beach back in the day was just a great time. People, who know other athletes, they go, so how's training camp? They call it training camp. I don't know, it's spring training.
Yeah.
It's springtime. If you're a big leaguer that has a roster spot, it's the best time of the year. It's it's a great time. And so Nancy and I, those formative years of our family and my career in West Palm Beach have great memories.
I just want to finish with this very quickly. You have six boys, two girls, correct?
Seven and one.
So how is the daughter, how much differently did you treat your daughter? Rules and everything
well
else.
Totally. Yeah, well, yeah, we were so used to the boys, but Madison, for instance, when Madison was about 4 years old and we were gone or out on, Nancy and I were out, we'd call and Madison would answer the phone. And, probably when she was about five or six, and she knew where everybody was. But if one of the boys answered the phone, it was like, I don't know where Sean is. Maddie is unbelievable, and she just is like her mom could. Is very capable and has that organization and a mind that can do a lot of things and keep us boys in line in the family.
Murph, great to see you. Enjoy the lunch
here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You're welcome to come on anytime you want.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
There he is. Hall of Fame legend in the town. Anyway, should be a Hall of Famer, big picture. It's the first Horizon Bank Lunch with a Legend series here at Hobnob. Dale Murphy.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.